One of the works God is doing in the history of the world is to magnify the worth of His glory. He does this by giving the people He created in His image the ability to boast in His supremacy over everything. So I want to teach you this morning how to boast. How is that for a morning service? We will boast in the Lord. And God created us to boast in His supremacy because boasting, the boasting that rises from our hearts, or naturally rises from our hearts, magnifies the glory of God. It is a part, boasting is a part of our makeup. He gave us a capacity to express delight in greatness, power, and wonder. Boasting is an act of rejoicing or exulting over something we believe is worthy of our affections. And God intended that we have this ability, again, for the purpose of making Him known as we experience His goodness, mercy, and grace. In other words, God made our hearts have the capacity to boast in order to make our joy evident. Boasting or bragging is what makes our heart or makes our gladness and joy visible or tangible. It is an act that displays what we deeply admire, and God meant it for something good. However, what we do very well in our culture is to boast in puny and feeble matters, like self and human accomplishments. Every person in this room, no matter what culture you were raised in, can identify with this subject. Boasting is everywhere, including in the church. At least this is what we see and we read in 1 and 2 Corinthians. As you may have already noticed, some people are exceptional with boasting, while others are very modest. And I am sure you have done it before. I've done it. We all know how to boast. We know that this desire is in our hearts. And interestingly, we observe it much more clearly in others, more than in our own lives. The fact is, we all know how to boast, and the greatest problem in the world is that we boast in everything else other than God. So the text we have this morning is not a prohibition against boasting. It is a teaching about what believers need to focus on in their boasting. It is a text about boasting in what truly matters. Paul says in verse 17, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." This means boasting in and of itself is not wrong, sinful, or evil. Boasting and bragging only becomes repulsive to God and to other people when its primary object is anything other than the glory of God. This is the reason why Paul says, if you must boast, make sure you boast only in the Lord. So again, the aim of this message then is to create an abiding conviction here at Desiring God that boasting in the Lord is good. It's good. I want to get good at it. That's what I hope to experience as a result of this. This is something that we must be committed to doing if we are truly full of understanding of the glory of God. Or if we understand the passion of God or the pleasures of God, this must be what should bubble in our hearts. And so this message, again, is a bragging lesson, boasting lesson, and as to how we can boast in the Lord. Now, before we do this, I want to show you from Scripture that boasting in the glory of Christ is biblical. It's a concept that we find in the Bible. I don't want you to think, okay, I think you are making much of something that you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and, you know, you're making a big deal of something small. I don't want to do that. That's not biblical exegesis. So, it begins with our text, boast in the Lord. This means, boasting means to exalt, to make much of some things, to make much of the glory of God. Psalm 34, verse 2 says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Jeremiah 9, Carl read it for us, 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts in this, that he, see, this is the object now of boasting, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 through 31, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, Paul making the summary, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And Galatians 6:14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See the object of boasting? By which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And a familiar text to us, Romans 5. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's actually from NIV. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. ESV uses the word rejoice. And so that means rejoicing or boasting in the hope of the glory of God is exalting on the glory of God. They are all the same. Boasting, bragging, exalting in the glory of God. That's an act of worship. It honors God when you do that. In our previous study of 2 Corinthians, we learned from the Apostle Paul that God's omnipotent grace eliminates all grounds for boasting. When we are truly dependent on God's sovereign, omnipotent grace and mercy for everything in life, there is no reason for us to have to boast in anything at all. Because of grace, all boasting must point to God alone. And this is the main point of Paul's rhetorical question in 1 Corinthians 4:7, when he says, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why are you boasting as if you did not get anything? This means you cannot boast in anything as though you can create and sustain what grace creates and sustains. The more you experience God's grace, and I guarantee this from the Word of God, the more you experience God's grace, the more you become radically God-centered in your boasting. But what is the greatest issue in the Corinthian church? Why does Paul have to speak to them about the subject of boasting? Why? The answer is the problem of pride. Their boasting betrays what they were most prideful of all, which is self. Let's just take a quick survey of the letters of the to the Corinthians to see if this is so, and also for us to see what pride is. And I want you to ask basically two questions as we go, as I enumerate some of those references that speaks to this issue. Is pride the root problem? Is pride the root problem at Corinth? And what actually is pride? In 1 Corinthians 1:29, and I'm not going to read the whole verse, but reference to it. Paul says, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. In 3:7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. In 3:21, let no one boast, so let no one boast of men. In 4:6, at the very end, that no one of you may be puffed up in favor of one another against another. And the end of verse 7, like what I referenced to earlier, if you then received it, why do you boast as if they were not a gift? In 4:18, some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you. You remember that? In 5:2, and you are arrogant, Paul said to them. In 8:1, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. 13:4, love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. And from here, Paul started saying that he will not boast, that he is boastful of something instead. He said, hardships comes in 2 Corinthians now, 2 Corinthians 1:9. He said, hardship comes even up to the brink of death. But that was to make us rely on not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So the word again there is reliance and rejoicing, which he says in 3:5, 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as something as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God. And in 4:7, but we have these treasures in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. And in 12:9, I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might rest upon me. It is not hard to see that the root problem in the church at Corinth is pride. Nor is it not hard to see what pride is. Pride is what derails a God-centered boasting from our hearts and turns it into a self-promotional act. Bad boasting robs our hearts of joy. So let's go back to our text to see how Paul addresses this problem. And what I want you to do is pay attention to the characteristics of bad boasting or self-exaltation or self-commendation. In verse 12, which is the first characteristic, bad boasting is absurd. It says, the Apostle Paul writing, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Self-exaltation is always busy. Very busy. It's always busy comparing and always critical of others. Apparently, some members of or leaders in the Corinthian church were prideful of their ministry and they were boastful about what they have done. They were mainly concerned about making their accomplishments and their abilities known to others. They were all about cleverness. You remember that back way back in 1 Corinthians? About their wisdom, their cleverness, and their cronies, who they belong to. And to this end, they were discrediting Paul's apostleship because it was not helpful in their pursuit to elevate themselves. And just so you understand the context here, these Corinthian leaders who were influenced by the false prophets or false teachers or false apostles within them, in effect were saying Paul had no authority to come here. Paul had no papers, according to them, from the authorities in Jerusalem. He has overstepped his limits. At least that's their view. And they are claiming that this is their territory. It is their area of influence. And that's why we read their claims in verse 10. Paul responding to them, it says, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. So in effect, they were saying that Paul had no business coming to them. He's not impressive. I mean, look at that. He writes strongly, and when he comes and speaks, he can't even speak well. Or his argument or his speech of no account. So he's not impressive, and he is bold only when away. You remember that in verse 1 of chapter 1? Or at least in it's saying, he is not impressive, and he is bold only when went away, and coward when face to face. This is what self-pride does. It is not only content with self-centered boasting, it is also very critical of others, especially those who they don't believe. You know, as they measure, as they compare each other, you know, themselves to others, especially those they don't believe measure up to them. So that's one of the characteristics, at least, of the absurdity of boasting in self. Secondly, so the first one is critical. The second one is, it is pitiful. Paul said, bad boasting is not wise. You read that? His words is, they are not wise. They are without understanding. It's not wise and is completely baseless. Look at what that phrase again is saying. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. And that's what I mean by baseless. You can tell that Paul uses some provocative irony here. Do you see it? They're claiming to be wise, and yet they are actually acting stupid. That's what he's saying. Do you see that? The Corinthians think they are able to impress others by showing off their wisdom, skills, and abilities, but in fact, they're just giving away how foolish they are. That's what you do when you boast in anything else other than God. You're just giving away how foolish our hearts and our minds are. How unwise we are. And that's what bad boasting does. It does not only expose human pride. It also exposes the heights of our folly. And the folly is the triviality of our standard. You see, measuring ourselves with reference to one another makes us the measure of all things. Self is the standard which makes it baseless. This is folly Because it takes God completely out of the picture, and it places someone else or something else in its place. A place for God is replaced by what we boast about. And this is why Paul says our ground for boasting must only be in the Lord. Bad boasting ultimately ends in despair, misery, and broken relationships. Bad boasting robs our hearts of gladness. Boasting in self distorts everything. As John Bloom says in his blog, I read, I think it was this week, pride turns ambition selfish, and I quote here, perverts sexual desire into unspeakable lust, interprets net worth as self-worth, infects the wound of grief and loss with the bacteria of bitterness, and twists competition into conquest. End quote. Ultimately, it is an utter dishonor to God's reputation. You and I, need to sense the folly of pride and see the worth of the glory of Christ in order for our boasting to be good. This is how we can fight against bad boasting. And we'll talk about more about this in the application. But I urge you to fix your eyes on Jesus, not on yourself. Only then your boasting will become the kind of boasting that makes God look good, even in suffering, even in troubles, even in difficulties. So, that was the first point. Bad boasting is absurd. Second one is this. We get that in verse 12. Bad boasting is inflated. And I want to make two observations as we move to this point of our study. First is in terms of boundaries that God established, or the field that God assigned. Paul talking about the field that God assigned to him and to the other apostles. And then the second one, I want to make an observation about the labors of others. Paul claims that God has drawn the boundary lines for his present boasting. He also says that the field God assigned him reaches even the Corinthians. You read that. In summary, Paul's boasting, as the Corinthians were accusing him of doing, okay, Paul's boasting, his act of boasting about, and we'll talk about that, what that is, meaning reaching the Corinthians, it's not the same kind of boasting that the Corinthians were doing. Paul's boasting is in the Lord and what God has done in the Corinthians' lives. While the Corinthians, or on the other hand, the Corinthians were boasting in themselves. These two types of boasting are opposites. One is right and the other one is wrong. They are not both right and they are not both wrong. And this is why Paul says boasting within the boundaries God gives us is necessary. Do you hear that? Boasting in the Lord is necessary for true boasting. Therefore, the opponents are the ones guilty of sinful boasting because they were transgressing by creating their own boundary lines. Paul says that this kind of boasting is different. It is not exaggerated or inflated. But bad boasting is always inflated. Do you see what I mean? Paul says his kind of boasting is within the field God assigned to us, and this is the reason why we were able to reach you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The phrase he uses here actually in verse 14 in our text is kind of arguing, overextending ourselves. He says we are not overextending ourselves. Actually, this is also the boundary that God assigned to us. So in other words, Paul is boasting within his boundaries because he cannot and should not ignore the fact that he was the first to reach the Corinthians. In fact, if he would be lying if he acted as though he and Titus and Timothy did not reach them, which is mentioned in verse 14. Right? You see that in verse 14? We were the first ones to reach you. And so if we do not boast in what God has done in your life, we are not boasting because we were the first ones to reach you, he's saying here. We are actually boasting because God drew you to himself through us coming to you. So why? Why does Paul defend himself in this way? He gives the answer in verse 14. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. This is not an overstatement. Don't miss the point. By definition, this fact makes Paul their apostle. And to boast about it or the apostleship is not wrong, because Paul recognizes his apostleship as a gift, not earned. But bad boasting does not understand boundaries. It discourages people. Instead, good boasting, on the other hand, encourages others and builds up the faith of others in Jesus Christ. So thus, again, one of the characteristics of bad boasting, it's inflated and does not know boundaries. Second description of inflated boasting, it takes credit for the labors of others. One of the many reasons why the false teachers are false is that they are taking credit for the labors of others. That's what we read in verse 15. As if it was their own. And they were accusing Paul of the same thing. What they were guilty of, they were accusing Paul of doing. But Paul will not do so. Instead, he writes, "We do not boast beyond limit." Okay? The limit there is the field, right? Beyond limit in the labors of others. So let us be clear in terms of what Paul is saying here and what he is not saying. Paul understands that he built a foundation and others built upon it. You're familiar with that back in 1 Corinthians. He welcomed this type of partnership as assigned by God. This is God's field, he's saying. It's not your field. It's not my field. That's why I boast in it. For example, in Corinth, Paul planted and Apollos watered. What Paul rejected was someone trying to come along and undo his work. And in this case, Paul writes to them for boasting about the church in Corinth as if Paul had nothing to do with it. That's the problem. They were saying, "Paul, you know, you don't have jurisdiction in our territory. So why are you boasting in the Lord?" They thought, in their arrogance, that Paul had nothing to do with the Corinthian church. Don't you feel disgusted with leaders who only recognize themselves and draw attention to what they have done, while leaving those who partner with them feeling used. And this is why Paul charges the opponents as the ones who are taking credit for someone else's work of ministry. Well, what Paul is saying here is that they need to see one thing above all others, and that is the glory of Christ. Not theirs. Not his. Not the Apostle Paul's. Not theirs either, but the glory of Christ. All their boasts are boasting in themselves, but all Paul's boasting is boasting in the Lord. And this is the difference between a worshiper and an idolater. Worshippers point their, you know, what they talk about, what they say is about Jesus, about God. Idolaters talk about themselves. That's why when I stand here before you, I don't want to talk about me. I don't want to talk about what I've done. I don't want to talk about what I've learned. I just want to talk about Jesus. That's worship. That's worship. But we have one more point, one last point, and this is the most crucial of all. Bad boasting, and I want you to really get this, bad boasting hampers gospel advancement. You may not see it clearly right there on the text, but I will help you see it. Okay, hang in there with me. Bad boasting hampers gospel advancement. For Paul, the main reason he boasts in the Lord and what he has done for him and the Corinthians is not to elevate himself, but to see the advancement of the gospel in places or regions beyond Corinth. Paul wants to plant more churches. And so he's not just committed with evangelism, although it is a necessary component of gospel advancement. It is about establishing churches and appointing elders and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry in places where the gospel has not been preached. His heart's desire is to see the nations come to the saving knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is why he is committed to boasting in the cross of Christ. But what kind of bad boasting then hampers the advancement of the gospel? What does it look like? Let me give you two. It's almost related to the second point. What hampers gospel advancement is when we become territorial. When we do not understand the field that God has assigned to us. We see the Corinthians are accusing Paul of trespassing ministry territories. You get that from earlier? Which is the reason he responds to them by saying, but we will not boast beyond limits. I'm not boasting beyond limits. But only boasting in regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even you. Self-centered boasters are territorial. They operate in a specific area and don't want to recognize others, only themselves. And so Paul says our boasting is confined in the field which God assigned to us. And that includes even you. Even you. We are not going too far in our boasting. And so in other words, Paul is creating unity between the apostles and the church so that they will share the same passion for the spread of the gospel. Paul's passion here is for them to see Christ named where he is not yet named. He wants to plant churches and then moves on to plant more churches. He does not go to a new territory until the churches are planted and that he can send them, some of them, to a new region. And so his vision is to expand the boundaries for boasting in the future. He wants all to boast in the Lord, not just in their small regional or confined ministries. He wants, he understands that this gospel of the kingdom must be what? Preached in all the world. That's what he's doing here. He's not territorial. And that's why he is unwilling to accept that he is guilty of bad boasting. He's not. An unwillingness on their part to recognize Paul's apostleship is bad boasting in itself. Second one. Bad boasting is conceited. That's why it hampers the gospel proclamation, gospel advancement. Look at verse 18. Oh, it's so clear. In verse 18. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved. You know, talking about apostleship, talking about called by God, who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Bad boasting is conceited. They rely on their self-approval or other people's approval to validate themselves. Self-commendation is a boast of self-sufficiency. Therefore, Paul utterly rejects all such claims. You know, self-commendation is a trap. It is the very same thing that will condemn you. And this is the reason why we are not to rely on how we feel about ourselves. Instead, we are to rely on the approval of God. Because it's the approval of God that truly matters. And so when you are commended by men, take it for what it's worth. It's probably an act of kindness on their part. And so you must be appreciative of it. But don't work for it. I don't get that when people think that, oh, I'm now good because I've been validated by people around me. Take it for what it is, but don't rely on it. That's not what matters. We're not supposed to be people pleasers. And this is why Paul says he's only concerned about the ultimate commendation, and that's the one the Lord gives. Now, I don't want to leave this topic without practical applications. And I want to draw an application based on what he said in verse 17. Again, you know, we've repeated it. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So how does this text teach us how to boast in the Lord? How can we do this? It's telling us something. Let me read again Jeremiah 9:24. Because this is where Paul quoted, actually, the word saying, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. He said, Jeremiah goes on to say at that portion saying, and these are very, very powerful words. Listen carefully. But let him who boasts, boast in this. Okay? The this is so, it's like a hinge. Okay? Boasting, the hinge, you know, this. And so what is that? That he understands. Okay? And knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. Notice that our boast must focus on who God is and what He does. Therefore, boasting is what the Lord has done. Or good boasting, God-centered boasting, is on what the Lord has done and for who He is. And that's synonymous with worship. This kind of boasting is worship. It's you saying, listen, listen to what God has done. Look at what the pleasures of God are. The pleasure of God in bruising His Son, the pleasure of God in all He does, the pleasure of God in on the cross, the pleasure of God in His creation. I'm talking about the pleasure of God by John Piper. Read it. And you will see what you can boast about. Look at everything that He created, what He displayed in creation. Do you see it? That's what you're saying. Do you see who God is? And you invite people to say, delight in it too. I love it. I love God. He is magnificent and great and excellent in everything. Would you boast in this with me? Let's delight in it together. Now, I want us to look hard at our, here at this DGCC, at our ministry and theology. And I want you to ask this question. What are we most boastful about here at Desiring God? Are we most boastful about what we do, like expository preaching, doing missions, and the like? Or are we most boastful about who God is and what He does? Sometimes I fear that we are impressed with ourselves because of our theology or our style of service or our abilities to do things. They are not bad in and of themselves. But are you aware of this danger? I fear that we can make idols out of our ministry and our theological views. I'm not only speaking about us, I'm speaking also of those others I've seen in this manner. That they are more impressed about their theological views than their understanding of God. Where in fact, our knowledge of God should be pride-crushing and praise-igniting. Making us more forgetful about ourselves. Is that the way you talk about the glory of God? If not, there are thousands of glories, manifestations of the glories of God you need to focus on rather than our puny accomplishments. We need to surrender our self-pride and we need to be committed to spreading God's renown, not our own. And let me close by saying this. The purpose of God in creating and saving us from sin is that we might boast in Him. This is God's will for you this morning. God's will for you and me is to boast in God. He wants you to boast in Him in everything you do. In everything you do. He wants you to seek your pleasure in Him alone, not in your wisdom, as we were singing earlier, not your own wisdom, your own strength, not your looks or your achievements anymore. Look to Christ crucified and see what becomes of it all. So look at the majesty of Jesus. Boast that He is your wisdom, your righteousness, your redeemer, your sanctification, and your treasure above all. Bow with me in prayer.